Our text this evening is found in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, and we will begin reading in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of the living God. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Thus ends the reading of God's fear word. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, we ask that you would come now and preach your gospel to our hearts. Lord, we are indeed like little birds, Lord, in a nest, straining our necks up, Lord, with their beaks open wide, frantic to be fed. And Lord, that is who we are. Lord, unless you feed us with the gospel, Lord, we will perish. Unless you save us, Lord Jesus, and take us by the hand and lead us, we will fall and rise no more. And so, Lord, come and preach your gospel. Encourage our hearts. Revive us to look to you, Lord Jesus, and to have hope in you. Our hope is not in ourselves or in any man. It is in you, the living Savior. And we love and adore you. And we beg now for your Spirit to give us insight into your word. In Jesus we pray. Amen. These are very familiar verses, but I believe verses that would be very good for us to take a look at for just a few minutes. Tonight, later, we're going to have an informational meeting, and there will be folks that have asked in our congregation to join over the internet for that meeting. And this meeting will be talking about what branch of the church we ought to be a part of. And I wanted us to look at this passage of Scripture, which gives us some very important, precious truths that we need to be reminded of and take to heart. We see in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus coming to the disciples and asking them, who do people say that the Son of Man is? The Son of Man was Jesus' favorite title that he used to refer to himself. The Son of Man, taken from Daniel chapter 7, a passage that describes Messiah ascending back up to heaven and being welcomed and presented to the universe as the one the Father has approved and being seated upon the throne as Messiah. This title, who do people say that the Son of Man is, obviously was a reference to Jesus himself. And the disciples answered, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And so the first thing that we would notice in this passage about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that it is something Jesus is building. Jesus says, I will build my church. And how that thrills our hearts. The church is not the product of man. Yes, the church is made up of men and women who have been touched by the hand of Almighty God to see and confess and know from the heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But the church is built by Jesus. And Jesus makes us living stones and joins us to himself. That's what makes us alive and is building his house, his household, for the praise of Almighty God. So Jesus claims he is building the church. The second thing I want you to be reminded of in these verses is that Jesus builds his truth, builds his church on the truth. Jesus himself is the truth. Peter is confessing, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Yes, the Lord uses other people to share the gospel with us, but the only one who can reveal to us who the living Savior is the triune God of the Bible. God alone can reveal to us who the Savior is. And so Jesus builds his church on the truth. And Jesus himself is the truth. But of course, Jesus reveals himself through Holy Scripture. The truth is focused on the person and work of Jesus Christ himself, who claimed in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But he also prayed in John 17, verse 17, praying to the Father for his children, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And so Jesus builds his church on the truth. And Peter stepped forward And he boldly confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Peter, you have been blessed. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." We are debtors to grace, debtors to God. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are a living stone, it is only because Jesus is building His church by making us alive, joining us to Himself. The third thing I will draw your attention to in this passage is that Jesus builds His church using frail, fallible men. Men with clay feet. And we see a powerful reminder of that in this very passage, that while it is this apostolic confession that Jesus is going to build His church on, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter obviously is not the focal point. Praise God. Nor is any man, nor is any pastor, nor is any elder or leader. Our hope for the future of the church is based upon Jesus taking weak, frail, pitiful vessels and accomplishing His good purposes. We see this demonstrated in this very context, in this very passage, where Peter has just declared this glorious truth. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus announces these stirring words. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. You, Peter, are going to be a hunk of stone that I'm going to use to give the rest of Scripture. But you're not the rock, Peter. You are merely a tool in my hand that is going to give the rock upon which the church will be built. The Word of God revealing the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we know it wasn't Peter the man that Jesus was referring to? Well, look at verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, I'm going to read that verse again. Peter took Him, who's the Him? The Son of God, the Christ. Peter took Him aside. Took Him by the elbow and said, Jesus, there's something I got to say to you. Come on over here. We got to have a talk. Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. What foolishness, what wickedness, what brashness, what ignorance. The very heart of the gospel that the Son of God came and took on flesh for the purpose of dying on the cross as a substitute. And Peter, at that very point, the very heart of the gospel, says, Jesus, don't talk that way. Don't talk that way. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. Verse 23, but He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Woo! Stinging words. True words. Needful words. Peter is reminded, he depends upon God. He depends upon grace. Yes, he had been blessed by the Father to see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But even the apostle Peter, he stood only by the grace of God. And that is true for all of us. That is true for all of us. And praise God, Jesus is building his church and continues to do so with men like Peter. And you can put your name in there. You can put my name in there. And what is our hope for the future? What was the hope for the church in that day? To have one of the disciples, Jesus rebuke now, and even say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That Peter was functioning as a tool of Satan himself, unknowingly, and yet in reality, Jesus says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Praise God that the church is going to be built. Even in the face of the obstacles and the difficulties caused by the ignorance of men with clay feet. Men with clay feet. Men who don't have it figured out. But men who bow before the Lord and confess Christ. Men that Jesus is so kind, and women and boys and girls to take and save and grow and instruct and correct where I'm wrong, and then use us even again for the glory of his name. The last thing that I would draw your attention to in this passage is the results of all of this. And we see that in verse 18. "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." How that encourages us. And we look at the state of the church in the United States of America in the year 2020, and what do we see? It is a mess. We see much confusion, much chaos, much unbelief, sadly much division, sadly much worldliness. But praise God, we have a Savior who says he is going to build his church. He's going to have a people who love him and who he is working in to grow. He is growing us, instructing us, correcting us. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, sometimes that correction is very painful. How do you think Peter felt when he was just told, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." Did you think Peter thought, "Yeah, buddy, that feels good. I like that." It is painful. Sometimes excruciatingly painful to be corrected. But praise God, we have a Savior who is going to have a people who love him. And when we stumble or when we walk in ignorance, praise God, our Jesus is up to the task of restoring us, correcting us, instructing us, reviving us, and using us once again for his glory. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, we see a passage quoted from Isaiah chapter 42 about the servant of the Lord. And we're going to close with that because this is the Savior who not only rebuked Peter, but we see and are reminded at the end of Peter's life, recorded for us in the Gospels, We see reference to him in the book of Acts, and he wrote 1st and 2nd Peter and so forth. We're not going to deal with that. But I just want to remind you that even though Peter stumbled again badly, denying the Lord Jesus three times, and yet I would remind you of how gentle and gracious and kind the Lord Jesus was. No, he didn't leave Peter in his ignorance. He didn't leave Peter in his unbelief. He didn't leave Peter in his sin. Praise God, Jesus doesn't do that with me or you. But he is patient and gentle. He is incredibly kind. And we see in Matthew chapter 12 and verses 18 and following a description of this Savior who says he is going to build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. Satan's not going to have the victory. Praise God. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen. Talking about Jesus. My beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Over in Isaiah 42, it talks about how that he will not grow weary or discouraged of heart. And it would be a great temptation for us to look at our own shortcomings, our own frailty, the pitiful state that the church is in our day, and be tempted to be weary and lose heart. But we dare not. Not because of anything in us, but because we have a Savior who says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are that the church is not something that is the creation of man. How thankful we are that the church is not something that depends upon any man. Oh, Lord, how we praise you. And, Lord, we throw ourselves at your feet this night. And we want to confess with Peter this night, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're our Redeemer, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, we do believe in you. And we do lay ourselves at your feet and pray that you would take us and use us as living stones, not only as individuals, but together. Lord, to lift up your name and to be faithful to you. We pray that you would use these precious truths to encourage us, Lord, as we think about the branch of the people of God on your amazing, huge, big tree of all the professing Christians throughout the world. And Lord, that you would bless us and lead us and guide us. Father, bless now as we sing and close our worship this evening. In Jesus we pray. Amen.